Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, 96.3 HD2 and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Well, Father's Day weekend is just about here. And what a great way to honor fathers by bringing in a few fathers together for a roundtable conversation on fatherhood. Well, actually, it's more of a sound off roundtable. The fathers are our guests, and they'll have the opportunity tonight to get to tell us what's on their mind and whatever it is they want to get off their chest. Our guests are in different age brackets, different stages of fatherhood. So joining us tonight for this pre-Father's Day conversation is Mark McKinnon. He's an actor and small business owner. Mark is also very new to fatherhood. We'll get to that. And Eric Smith. Eric is a father and husband. Eric's been married for 44 years and has four children. And again, I'm your host, Bramante Bryant. I'll just throw my part in. I'm also a father. I've got two kids, ages 20 and 19. So I'll jump into this conversation a little bit as well. Mark and Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure being here.
And happy pre-Father's Day. So we'll start off that way, right? So we'll start off kind of on a good note. So as we said, this is kind of a sound off. And a sound off, as you guys know, it doesn't have to be a negative thing, right? It could just be whatever is on our minds as fathers. And oftentimes as men, and probably fathers too, there are things that we hold on to that we maybe don't really get a chance to kind of express as we want to. So tonight is the night to do it. So, Eric, I'm going to start with you. This is our sounding off category. We've got about three or four, right? We've got one on fatherhood, work-life balance, marriage, relationships, and a role in the community and anything else that might come up. But those are the four we're going to sort of zoom in on. So, Eric, let's start off with being a father and how it feels to be a father. You've got four kids, ages ranging from 50 to 34. So you've had experience of being a father. Tell me what it feels like or what it has felt like for you.
It's been an outstanding experience. And I say that from the perspective of being where I am age-wise now to watch and watching their development, my children's development. And they have just really grown. It has been a wonderful experience to share with them during their growth process. So I would say that has been probably one of the most pleasurable component of this and sharing and watching them grow as well.
Mark, ooh-wee, I remember those days. You've got an 8-week old. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what you can sound off on that because you probably don't have any sounds because you're so sleepy. So what's it been like being such a new father? You've got this new little tiny little thing.
I mean, honestly, I'm on such a high that even with the lack of sleep, I'm just like just excited.
So is it true? Are you on lack of sleep mode? You can be honest.
I am on lack of sleep. Now my wife has been like very supportive of when she knows I have to get up super early for like work or anything, then she lets me sleep. But for the most part, I'm up to feeding the baby, walking the baby around. One time I had to walk her around in the stroller in the middle of the night. Like, you know, so it's like. So
try to get her to go to sleep, right? Oh, I remember that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. it's only been 2 months, Mark, but, you know, as we're sounding off on fatherhood, has it been what you expected as a very young father, as a new father, as a first-time father?
It's been beautiful, but what I've learned so far in these 8 weeks is that people don't tell you everything. They give you the good things. Like, oh, she's going to be wrapped around your finger. Oh, every time you see, you're going to smile. But they don't tell you about the little things that go in the day-to-day with changing and feeding and all the pampers and taking out all the trash of the pampers. Like, it's so much more to it than just a cute portion of pinching her little cheeks, you know? So I'm really, like, just, like, honestly, like, learning what it really means to be a father, you know, and I learned so much in these 8 weeks.
Eric, I think one of the things I remember, you know, Bill Cosby's name, that doesn't get brought up too much, you know, really in a positive sense these days, but I'll never forget he had said something about parenting, and I think it applies to fatherhood too. And I always remember this. He says, you know, really when it gets down to it, we're winging it. You know, you don't come here, as Mark said, there's not a whole lot of templates. Your parents may try to tell you what it's going to be like, grandparents, uncles, older folks. But really, when it boils down to it, as fathers, as mothers, as parents, we are winging it. Is there something to that? Am I right? Because I know I feel like a lot of times you're just learning as you go.
No, I have to totally agree with that. And some of it is how you, what you see being modeled for you, because those are going to be some of the characteristics that you bring into your child rearing once you get to that stage. And so I have a great dad. He did some wonderful things, a lot of exposure, doing things to say, I want you to be aware of this, because it's no different than when you have children of your own and you start remembering those types of experiences. And so one interesting point I'd like to share right quick is I kind of asked my kids after they had became adults, how did I do? You know, and they said, you did all right.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. On the kid, you know, because I remember my mother asked me that one time, Eric, as you're like, oh, boy.
And truly, you're asking from a standpoint of wanting to know, but also to kind of get them thinking about the process as well, because at some point, you know, you hope that you're going to be a grandfather, which I am. Just kind of share some of those learning experiences with your grandchildren. So now I have the privilege and opportunity to spoil my grandchildren phenomenally and then send them home.
Isn't that the best?
After they're bouncing off the wall. Yeah.
That's got to be the best, right? You get to love them, you get to hug them, you get to play with them. And then once they start getting loud and things got to be changed, you're calling the parents. You know, I've always thought about, you know, as a father, you know, one of the greatest challenges is to really be as steady as you can for your children. I think they really want to see consistency. You know, I've always said that one thing with your kids is they're going to see your peccadilloes. They're going to see your idiosyncrasies, whether you think you can hide them or not, they will see them. But I think particularly as fathers, boy, we have so much of a challenge. And when you're talking about African-American fathers, too, and just with societal pressures and things of that nature, I'm going to ask you this, Eric, and then I want you to address it too, Mark, because I know you're a preemie. That's what I'm going to call you. You're a preemie father right now. I take it. But just the challenges, Eric, that you face as a father, what have they been like for you?
What have been the challenges? You're absolutely correct with regards to that, because you do look at those societal complications that we have to go through, again, as Black men. And to try to bring that forward, I have a son. My other children are daughters. A little bit different from that perspective, because they're going to be treated a little bit differently as well. And so some of those challenges is just, one of my pet peeves is I never brought any type of play toy guns into the house. If we were going to bring an instrument of that sort in, it was going to be one of those big bubble gun guns, water guns that was all different colors. But just because I just had that affinity of knowing what the complications could be arising from that. And so that was one of the things that I kind of just, I made an edict of that in my home. But my son later on told me, he said, I really do appreciate you doing that, because now I understand why you did it. And so now he can carry that forward as well. And so from that perspective, to your earlier point, loving the kids as much as possible, being consistent, I wanted them to truly understand that I was 100,000% in their corner, but at the same time, there would be rules and regulations that they would have to adhere to and going forward. So I think I shared that. They've come back to share that with me. They said, Dad, we really appreciate what you did and how you did it. And thank you very much. And so that was wonderful.
That's got to be the best feeling. You know, appreciation sounds like such a small thing, but that's kind of got to be such a big thing to hear that your children say that they appreciate all that you've done for them.
Yeah. Oh, it was, you know, I'm not a crier, but, you know, I had a chill kind of drip down a little bit on them.
A little myself. Denzel tear, like one of them tear. Mark, do you have, and I may have missed it, is it a little daughter you have?
Yes, I have a daughter, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, Mark. Mark. and she's the first two. Do you have any fears, Mark? Because I can tell you my daughter was my first. I've got a son and a daughter. My daughter's 20. Mm-hmm. And, it's just so different. It's just so different. And, Eric, you know, I know you got to that. And it was so different for me to the point where I was harder on my son. And I didn't even realize it till later. Wow. It, you know, came to my attention of the expectations I had for him. He wouldn't clean up his room or something. I'd snap at him. And my daughter, I would say, oh, you know, make sure you clean your room up. My son is like, what are you doing? Why isn't your room clean? So I don't know if we've all experienced that just as sons in our life. But do you have fears, Mark, that you feel like may drive your fatherhood? Because sometimes fears aren't always a bad thing.
Absolutely. One of my fears is that, you know, my father wasn't in my life when I was coming up. You know, I don't have that model of what a father is in the home. I have plenty of mentors who show me how to be a man, but I never had that example of what it means to be a father when no one is watching. You know, so one of my fears is, am I doing the right things now that's going to affect my child later? You know, because a lot of times we focus on when we're older, like, well, remember what happened to you when you were younger? Those things affect you. So that's some of my fears. The way I'm holding her, the way I'm talking to her, what am I not doing enough of? Like, those are some of the things that really add a challenge to me. It's just really making sure, like, am I really giving my child, my daughter, what she really needs as she's growing, as she's in this development stage? And it's really something that, you know, I've been coming to terms with, and, like, you know, being able to collect myself and, you know, breathe it in. I just want to make sure she's breathing. So, you know, sometimes
one of the finger under the nose. Yeah, I know all of those little things. The Eric smiling. We've all been through that. Right? The child alive, not moving. What's going on? Mm-hmm. I think that's such a good point, Mark, that you bring up about an important point. Not having your dad, you know, in your life. And so there are a good number of men and fathers, right, who've gone through that, and some go left, some go right.
Right.
And who do you call on for that? Because when I hear you talking about that, the first thing I thought was, like, I wonder who Mark then leans on when he will need that guidance. I don't know if you've had to lean on anyone yet because it's been so early. Do you have uncles? Do you have friends? You know, who do we lean on? Often I think we, you know, we try to find people closest to us that we hold some respect for.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I have some friends, you know, some colleagues that, like, also have newborns. So maybe the child is maybe about 1 or 2 years old. So they just recently went through those beginning stages, you know. So I'm calling on them because their experience is more fresh. You know, sometimes you talk to somebody a lot older, you're like, okay, I remember 20, 30 years ago. But, like, let's talk to somebody who just went through this a couple of months ago. You know, okay, I'm dealing with this situation with my daughter or this situation with my wife and postpartum. Like, how do I navigate this? Well, like, what did
you do? Wow, such a great point. Yeah.
You know, so
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Mark, but it's such a great point that, you know, obviously fatherhood, we equate that to children. But as you said, it's, you know, and we're going to get to this, whoever your spouse is, your partner is, she's going through postpartum. And so then you've got to be a father and you've got to be a helpmate, you know, to your wife or your spouse who's given birth to this child of yours. And so then how do you make that work? And that, I think, is part of the stress that I want us to talk about, too, in our next segment and a couple other things, a couple of topics we want to get off our chest, so to speak. But the stress that fathers are under often and still have to operate at a high level. So we're going to talk about that. And I said a few other things, work-life balance, right? Marriage and relationships, all of that good stuff we're going to get to. But we got to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. This conversation on fatherhood continues online and on SiriusXM channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR.